Welcome to Keys to Recovery. Today, we're going to talk about hope. There are three essential emotional needs in every person's life: a sense of belonging, a sense of worthiness, and a sense of competence. Take away one or more of these and hopelessness will begin to set in. Isolation is the breeding ground for hopelessness and despair. A person alone will ultimately self-destruct. We all have need to be connected to something greater than ourselves. Step number 2 in the 12-step recovery program is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The corresponding principle to step number 2 is hope. One of the things that I connected with in my early days of getting sober was derived from this step. The description went like this: we came to, then we came to believe. For some of us, the hardest part of this is believing. It's not the believing in and of itself that seems to be the obstacle, but the complications that come from preconceived ideas stemming from past negative experiences in trying to believe. Often these negatives were derived from well-meaning folks just trying to help. Those trying to find recovery, they're often overwhelmed with feelings of failure and needs that they don't even know they have. Then comes a demand that they believe exactly the way someone says right now, or they will, as it were, burn in hell. This approach speaks little of mercy, love, or forgiveness, and typically will cause a greater wall to be placed between the one seeking help and the God who can help them. Sometimes the question that produces the greatest effect is not, do you believe in Jesus, or even do you believe in God? But perhaps this should be asked: do you believe that I believe? This very elementary starting point may seem foolish for some. However, allowing people to come to their own revelation of God will open the door later on to truly introduce them to God in a life-changing way. Just simply to believe in something may need to suffice to start with. For some, there may seem to be an urgency to convince them right now to, without question, believe like me. This short-order approach may provide some temporary relief, but the lack of genuine compassion and motivation to help the addict will eventually surface. Rarely little, if anything, is accomplished. A real-life demonstration of your belief will be far more successful than this pushy, preachy approach. A power greater than yourself typically leaves an element of confusion for the onlooker. It, however, is really quite simple. For the person that's trying to find God, obviously the first thing they need to know is where to look. Telling someone to look within when they've never accepted the Spirit of God into their life is paramount to telling them to rely upon their own spirit. This is precisely the thing that they've been doing their whole life. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Don't trust anyone. Rely upon yourself. This is not an awareness of God, but a consciousness of self. It stands to reason that this will not succeed. For the very nature of the addictive person is that they are self-centered, self-seeking, and operate in a mode of self-will run riot. Remember that if they're to seek a power greater than themselves, then self cannot be what is being sought. The person coming into recovery has already exhausted their best plan. Their best plan and their very best thinking got them into the mess that they're in. They should be told this right up front: your best plan and thinking has totally failed. Some would speculate that God is within. He's not, unless you've taken a measure to ask him in, or perhaps that you perceive yourself to be God. When I have a legal problem, I find an attorney. When I am sick and not able to recover, I seek the aid of a doctor. When the car won't run, I find a mechanic. In essence, these people become a power greater than me. They are trained, experienced, and duly authorized to assist me through the process of overcoming these areas of life's difficulty. It would seem that God has given special abilities to certain people for a particular helping task, and that society has recognized this ability and given place to it. But what about the addicted? Where is the help for them? Perhaps the one most capable in helping an addicted person is the one that has come out of the same addiction. It would seem that God is given the special ability to help an alcoholic to another alcoholic. When one addict reaches out to help another addict, there is a power and a grace given that no one else seems to have. I'm not saying that others haven't helped some, but there is no denying that the giving back approach works the best. Freely you have received, freely give. When you find that a power greater than yourself comes in the form of a person, there becomes a place of agreement that produces a power to triumph over that which would otherwise be insurmountable. This will work for those that are believers in God and those that are non-believers as well. It is simply the place of agreement. It is a place of power. I have read that where two of you agree on anything, it will happen. If you can't find God, guess who's lost? The seeker of God needs only look as far as the man standing next to him to find God, providing that the man next to him knows God. It's God working through people. That was the essence of all of Christ's teachings, who was in fact God in the form of man. Remember, we're dealing with renewing someone's hope. To an atheist or an agnostic, or even to someone who believes but has been hurt in formal religion, finding the foundation of hope may serve as a genuine challenge. For the weary, confused, and abused who are trying desperately to find their way, their quest to find help may begin in finding that someone cares about them and loves them unconditionally. This is God working through others, or as they say in the church, Jesus with skin on. When they see God working in the lives of others who were, through their own confession, hopelessly addicted and massively dysfunctional, the renewing of their hope is inevitable. Came to believe in a power greater than ourselves takes on quite a different meaning when you see that it is God working through people to reach people. The being restored to sanity that step number 2 speaks of is better described as the feelings of aloneness, isolation, and uniqueness that preceded and accompanied the addiction. These perceptions produce the feelings of always being on the outside looking in, never a part of anything and rarely in sync with anybody. This is best described as terminal uniqueness. Most addictive types perceive themselves with a loner image. Once it is discovered that the things that are being experienced, the behaviors and the thoughts are common in others, there arises a sense of belonging and being normal in the person that's seeking help. This renewed hope is the beginning of the journey back to normality. The summation of principle number 2 is this: when God is revealed to man, through a man, hope is established. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere reaches out for help to be a channel of hope. For this, I am responsible.